There's a worldwide epidemic of obesity, type 2 diabetes, and other chronic diseases that can be helped, sometimes even reversed, by simple diet and lifestyle changes rather than using medications. Hello, I'm Dr. John Beeney, and in these podcasts, you will hear information to help you make informed choices so you can live younger, longer. Truth is, most people don't like to lose things. Yeah, because when you lose something, you end up with less, right? There's just one thing, in my experience, that people are happy to lose, and that's weight. Now, apart from a few unfortunate people who are underweight because of illness, overwhelmingly, people are pleased to lose weight. What are we trying to lose? Many of us are aware that we can, let's say, retain water, right? We feel bloated, swollen ankles. We can gain quite a bit of weight with water. And you can lose it by sweating, maybe sweating in a sauna, taking diuretics, water tablets to make you pass more urine. But most of us know there really is no help in the long term, and I certainly don't recommend it. I mean, if you were successful, you'd end up looking like a shrunken prune, which isn't good. Water isn't a source of energy. Would it be better if we looked at burning energy? See, the trouble is, when we use the word energy, that's another poorly understood term. You know, it tends to lead to thoughts of energy balance and calories in and calories out. And I'll talk about that myth on another occasion, but we'll go back a step. What are our main food sources? Well, there are three. There's carbohydrates, fats and proteins. I'm going to leave protein out. Protein provides the structure of the body more than it does energy for the body. So that leaves just two main energy sources, carbohydrates that break down into sugar, and fat, which is absorbed as fat. The body can burn sugar or fat interchangeably, but not at the same time. And for most of us, we will always burn up excess sugar before we start burning fat. And I can also tell you that there's only about 0.5 kilo of sugar stored in the whole body. That's not much. Wouldn't it be better if we really concentrated on losing fat, burning fat? So I think it'd be a good idea to start talking about losing fat rather than losing weight. So how do we lose fat? Well, you can pay a surgeon to cut it out. People do that. There's liposuction, where you suck it out. It also sounds a bit gruesome. And I certainly don't recommend either of those. No, essentially, we've got to start using our body fat as the preferred source of fuel. That's it. But the trouble is, many of us go our whole lives just adding a few grams of fat a day to our fat stores each and every day. But having said that, most of us are capable of burning fat for a few hours each night. The trouble is, if you add on, say, for the sake of the argument, 60 grams of new fat you add every day, and you burn 30 grams each night, you still gain 30 grams a day, and that comes out at about 1 kilo a year. All right, that's not too much, unless you do that for 30 years, in which case you've gained 30 kilos, which is what a lot of people do. So let's talk about this burning fat every night. I think most people, except perhaps some really unfit people, but most people are capable of burning fat for a few hours every night. You see, a few hours after our last meal, that's when the body tends to switch off insulin, and that enables you to start burning fat. Insulin is the key to all this. Insulin is made in the pancreas, and its job is to make sure that blood sugar levels don't get too high, and it does that by storing excess sugar as fat. Late at night, after the available sugar has been burned up, blood sugars are sort of getting down to about as low as the body really wants them to go, then insulin switches off and the body starts to burn fat. So let's talk about burning fat. What's it like to become a fat burning machine? So suppose you have nothing to eat in the evening after an evening meal at say 7 p.m. Then after about 5 hours, about midnight or so, your body runs out of that available sugar. And that's when you start burning fat. And you'll burn fat until you eat again, until you break your fast. So, very simply, delay breakfast and you burn fat. Now, you can either follow, as I did with my wife 5 years ago, Michael Moseley's 5-2 diet, where you actually have a tiny breakfast, but it's such a tiny low-carbohydrate breakfast that it actually doesn't interrupt fat burning for long. Much better, in my view, is to delay breakfast altogether until you really start feeling hungry. And then you could break your fast at, I don't know, 11 o'clock in the morning or 2 p.m. But if you really want to do well, have what's called a fasting day. You eat nothing after dinner until dinner time the next evening. Just for detail on the fluid side of things, just make sure you drink enough water. I find a cup of coffee just with a dash of cream to start the day really helps me forget about food. Everybody's different, however. A bouillon stock cube, or better still, some fat-free bone broth at midday might help some people. As I explained, it's when the sugar stores in the body fall sufficiently that fat burning begins. The ultimate way to ensure that the sugar levels are always low, of course, is to burn fat as your preferred fuel day after day. If you seriously limit your carbohydrate intake at all times, you'll be burning fat. Fat becomes your primary preferred fuel source, and if you wish, you can add in fasting days whenever you choose as a bonus. We'll talk much more about all this on another day, but essentially, it's pretty simple.